Producer, multi-instrumentalist, and Grammy Award-winning artist Robert Glasper has been at the vanguard of contemporary music for many years and lauded for leading a resurgence in jazz while incorporating a myriad number of music styles around a jazz framework. I recently spoke with Glasper as we chopped it up about his groundbreaking musical projects, key collaborations that have aided his growth and development, and what it means to be a role model and ambassador. We first dove into his Black Radio album series, a group of landmark album releases that reimagines the boundaries of jazz and cross-pollinates with hip-hop, progressive soul, and atmospheric textures.
You know, everything happens, you know, I guess what they say, everything's in its right place, everything happens when it's supposed to happen. The first one I did got canceled 3 times with so many guests, so many artists, so many labels, so many managers. We just couldn't get it together. Like it was too crazy scheduling. We finally were able to do it and I did it. And unexpectedly it, you know, really, you know, was bigger than I thought it was going to be, honestly. I thought it was going to be a cool underground record, you know, but we ended up winning R&B album of the year. And, you know, and it did so many things within the music world, you know, changing a few things and the Grammys, changing the Grammys of how they look at certain bands and certain genres of music and opening it up a little bit, you know what I mean? So it's been great. And being able to collaborate with so many amazing artists on Wax, you know what I mean? Because that's what I was doing in my real life, just playing my jazz shows, but having special guests like Layla or Ledisi or Bilal or, you know, Common or Mos Def or Q-Tip. I was doing that for years.
Absolutely.
Before I did my radio. So it was just really like me putting what my life is on Wax. And then people loved it so much in this part two. And that was great, you know what I mean? Then I wasn't going to do a part three. I didn't want to overdo it, you know what I mean? But I always say I didn't want to be like Rocky and be like, you know, Black Radio 9. But then, you know, I waited and people were asking, but when the pandemic hit, that's when I felt like, you know what? This is when I should do one because I felt like a musical first responder. I felt like the world needs it. I need something to do. You know, and this is going to be a challenge because I can't be in the room with the people. I got to send files and it's going to be very, very hard to do. But I felt like I had a responsibility. So I did a part three and that worked out great. You know, we won the R&B album of the year with that one. And, you know, I even had to build my own studio. I had to rent another apartment and build a studio inside of it behind my house so I could work on it. And that's where I am now in the studio. And this we got nominated for, you know, best engineered album also. You know, that me and my friend Terrace Martin and Q-Million built from scratch. Like, it's crazy. So it's been a wild ride. And I'm just so happy that, you know, Black Radio has been able to to do what it's done for people, you know.
Known as one of music's foremost collaborators, Glasper has enjoyed collaborations with numerous artists across multiple genres all around the country. He's got a special affinity for Detroit.
Man, let me tell you, my relationship with Detroit goes back to 1998 when I was in college and my friend Bilal, we were in college together. And we worked on his demo in my dorm room. And Bilal ended up getting signed. And the first producer they had to work with was Dilla.
Yep.
And I begged Bilal, take me with you to Detroit, please. So he took me with him and we got to hang with Dilla and Slum Village. You know, T3, all of them, man, Frank, you know, and it was that change literally changed my life. It literally changed the way I play. I would say Dilla, he's in my top five of influences on me, you know, musical influences on me. No other producer, most producers don't change the way people play. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the times the producer's trying to mimic how people are playing. Yeah. But Dilla was the opposite. He did something that everybody was trying to play like him. You know, he ushered in a whole new sound, a whole new vibe. I always say he is the backbone of the neo soul movement, if you will. To me, neo soul music is Dilla infused R&B.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
And yeah, man. So that's like Detroit has always a special place in my heart because then I played at the, you know, Aretha Franklin so many times, the outdoor joint. And yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
I would say that Dilla really epitomizes the spirit of a jazz artist.
Absolutely.
Improvisation, his whole flow, intuitiveness, all of that.
And a lot of people never seen his process because sometimes the genius, a lot of the times, the genius is in the process. It's not even at the end, the ending product, because you hear a really dope beat, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, when you see how he made the beat and how fast he made the beat, like, it's incredible. That's what you got to see. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody told you, I made this beat, you hear it, it's like, sounds good. But they told you, yeah, I was hanging upside down in a big jar of water when I did it. Then you'd be like, wait, hold on, what? What? You know what I'm saying? Like, would you watch Dilla make a beat? When we watched him make that Reminisce beat for Bilal, we used to go out and hang out. We would make beats all day. Like, literally jam. I will be on his keyboard, he'll be on the MP, and Bilal will be on the keys and singing, and we would just jam all day. And then he would take that and put it on CD, and we would ride around to it all night. Mm-hmm. And he would even go to different clubs and give them one of the things we made up that day, and they'll play it in the club. Yes. Bro, like, you know what I mean? Like,
same day.
Who's that day? Who does that? Who does that? To this day, nobody. Who does that?
Right.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Glasper recently made headlines when R&B artist Chris Brown seemingly dissed him online after losing to him at the Grammy Awards, hurling insults and taunts. However, after Brown did his homework, he issued an apology. Glasper, for his part, took it all in stride and used the occasion to lighten the mood and keep the door open to one day working with Brown.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm used to people being surprised and a little uncomfortable that I'm in their space when they're used to normal other things happening, you know what I mean? And so I'm a wild card. People like me don't normally get into a Chris Brown space. That's not normal. Everybody in the Chris Brown space is in Chris Brown space already, you know what I mean? But here I am, a musician, you know what I mean? And not just, and at that, a jazz musician, if you will, you know what I mean? Like, what? Who's this dude? And he never heard of me. That happened to me when I won the R&B album the first time around in 2012. That happened to me. With the people I was in the category with, they were like, who? You know, Tyrese is like, who the hell? You know, like, all those guys, who? And I understand, because I came straight from jazz then, you know?
Right.
Now I've been in it for a minute. I've won R&B album two times. I've won R&B song two times, you know what I mean? So now people are, but I understood that Chris didn't know who I was. And I people were like, he know who you are. I don't think he does. He's in a different world, and I get that. So my thing was, I don't want to fight fire with fire. I hate when two black people get into a certain space, and it should be cool, it should be dope, and turn something positive in instead of us bickering all the time. I hate when that happens, you know? So I told him, we talked on DMs, and he apologized, and I told him, man, I would love to work with you. I think he's super talented, one of the most talented, actually, you know what I mean? And I think if me and him collaborated, ooh, it could be something special, ooh, you know? So I want to make sure I didn't, you know, throw no dirt on him or... Yeah. Talk against them like that, because then, you know, that's for what? You know, I didn't want to do that. Right, yeah. Right. I did a campaign online late January saying, who the F is Robert Glasper? And it was like a campaign for him, like, getting my fans to know who I am. And I would ask them personal questions, and they will see who knows the most about me, you know? So he took that, my own campaign, and just put a laughing emoji on the O on who. He put a laughing emoji and used it. So everybody thought he came up with it. So I was like, cool, no problem. Y'all can think that if you like, who? And I was like, I'm gonna make a shirt out of it. And all my fans were like, you should make a shirt out of it. That's a dope shirt. So then I was like, not only am I making a shirt out of it, I just started working with the Community Center of New Orleans. My friend Jesse McBride is the head of it. And I just started working with the kids there. And I literally the next week was going to a fundraiser to play to help raise money for those kids in New Orleans for underprivileged kids that can't afford lessons or instruments. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm gonna give all the proceeds to them, you know? So that it just, everything was in this right place at that moment. You know, I was able to help the kids and able to, you know, hopefully forge a good relationship with Chris Brown, you know? So it worked out.
Mentorship is of importance to Glasper, as he has devoted a significant amount of time and resources to mentoring artists and giving back to the community.
Yeah, it's important. I'm not here on my own, you know? I'm here, rest in peace, because of people like Harry Belafonte, yeah, you know, who always who always had people on his shoulders. He was always about the we and not the I, you know, he was somebody I looked up to, and I got a chance to actually chop it up with him and talk to him and do music with him. And, you know, people help me up. So I feel like it's my responsibility to do the same, you know, to mentor if I can, and do whatever I can. You know, I have people like Roy Hargrove for me when I was in high school, and Mark Whitfield and Russell Malone and Christian McBride. Those guys took me in when I was just 19 years old. Like, hey, come play. I'm gonna take you on tour. Don't do this. What are you doing? You know, like, just being there for me. And it was so important and so a necessity that I needed that to go on a path that I'm going on right now, you know, to where I am right now. You know, so it's just, you know, we, especially as Black people, we have to do that for each other. You know, it's very, very important.
Absolutely.
I hate it when those guys, there's some people that make it to a certain point and they're like, it ain't my responsibility. You don't say that when you're cashing them checks. Mm-hmm. When you stood on other people's shoulders to cash those, to reach that bank, to reach that ATM, you stood on somebody else's shoulders to reach that ATM. So it is your responsibility. I hate when people act like they don't have responsibility. If you're making money, you have a responsibility because that came from somebody else, period. Yeah. That's it. You know, absolutely. In one way or another, you don't have to make speeches. You don't have to go see kids. Whatever you can do, whether it's just giving money to an organization, do something, you know?
Another feather in Glasper's cap is the annual Blue Note Jazz Fest that takes place in Napa, California. Derived from his yearly residencies at the Blue Note Jazz Club, Glasper's reimagined the series into an annual festival where he curates the artist stages. This year's fest coincides with hip-hop's 50th anniversary and will feature artists who make up a who's who of music culture, ranging from hip-hop, progressive soul, and other music genres who are influenced by jazz. And it includes acts ranging from Diggable Planets, Michelle DeGale Cello, and Madlib, all the way to Nas, Mary J. Blige, and Bobby McFerrin. The fest will also tribute De La Soul, who lost one of their founding members, True Goy, a.k.a. Dave.
Dave passed away, one of the other main MC of De La Soul. It was Posthumous Dave. And, you know, he was like a backbone to the hip hop world, you know what I mean? And influenced a lot of people. And he just passed away. And so it was like, you know, it's so cool to have De La on here because we're just pretty much paying tribute to Dave, you know? And, you know, they've given the world so much music and so much, you know, happy music. They were the first people to really, group to really come out and like, actually really have fun with records. You know what I mean? Like, they're hip hop, but it wasn't like everything's hardcore. You know what I mean? They were like party. They were the party, you know?
Right.
And it was about love and all those things. And, you know, so it's really great to have them, and it's the 50th year of hip hop, you know what I mean? 50th anniversary of hip hop. So to have De La Soul and to have Nas, you know, and Chance the Rapper. So we're just touching all the different bases of hip hop there. So it's going to be amazing.
The Blue Note Jazz Festival is one of many items that Glasper has on his plate, and he won't be slowing down anytime soon. He'll be ramping up several projects moving forward.
Woo! After Blue Note, so Blue Note is the end of July. July 27, 28, 29, no, 28, 29, 30, right?
Yep.
Yes, 28 and 30, July. Then I start curating my Blue Note residency that's at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York for October, Robtoberfest. I start curating that and figuring out all my special guests and things of that nature. I'm starting a little bit now that we have the Napa done. But that's the next big thing. I'm also scoring some things. I'm scoring this show on HBO called Winning Time, about the LA Lakers in the 80s.
I heard about that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I did the first season. Me and my friend Nick Bertel did the first season. So about to start the second season pretty soon. So I'll be doing that. And probably some other series by then. And I've been scoring some series and movies. And
that seems like a natural progression for you.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times, my whole career, people have been saying, yo, your music is cinematic. You play very cinematic. You should get into it. So I literally started getting into it around 2016, somewhere like that. Yep, absolutely.
To keep track of the releases, tours, and various activities of Robert Glasper, visit robertglasper.com. To learn more about the Blue Note Jazz Festival, visit the website at bluenotejazz.com. For the Progressive Underground, my name is Chris Campbell, and we'll see you next time.